1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 this morning. It's our intention today to draw our attention to the place of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is just a couple of days around the corner, and Thanksgiving is really truly a special holiday for my family, and we've always gone all out for Thanksgiving. My wife's a big Thanksgiving lover. She loves the turkeys and the pies and the sweet potato casseroles and all of those kinds of things. And I think we're having a mini Thanksgiving dinner, just a little precursor before we have here over in our time of lunch today. So don't get too hungry during the message, all right? Hold off for this a little bit, and I hope you ate an extra banana or something before you came to church this morning. But Thanksgiving is a unique holiday. It's unique to America. It's one of the very few holidays that we have in America that is unique to America itself, and uniquely Christian too, very interestingly too. If you study the history of Thanksgiving, it goes all the way back to the pilgrims when they crossed over on the Mayflower, and you say, I thought that was all a bunch of fairy tale. I said, no, it's a real story that actually happened, and they really did cross the Mayflower, and they signed the Mayflower Compact, the thing that is the preamble to the Constitution, all those good things. But nonetheless, Thanksgiving is a wonderful day. It's a good day that spends with family and friends, and maybe a day in which you do something different, but a day in which we all really enjoy. One mom, she was really excited about her Thanksgiving day and knowing that her four boys would get to come home with her and spend the day with her. Her husband had since passed, and her four boys had grown up, and they were successful businessmen, and one was a successful lawyer, and a couple of doctors in the family, and very rich and influential, and they thought, you know, when we come home this time for Thanksgiving, we're really, really surprise mom. And we really want to do it all out for mom this year. And so when they came home for Thanksgiving, they didn't have Thanksgiving in mom's old country farmhouse. No, one of the brothers said, I'm going all out. I'm buying mom a million-dollar mansion right here. 16 bedrooms. I mean, beautiful place. They moved into the place. Man, beautiful, beautiful place. And had Thanksgiving meal in there. And in the garage, one of the brothers said, you know what? I'm going to buy mom an SL600 Mercedes-Benz, man. I'm going to park that convertible inside there. And she's going to walk out and be so excited. Excited and impressed by that. And another brother said, hey, I'm going to add on to the house. I'm going to build a 32-seat auditorium with Dolby surround sound and a beautiful movie screen inside there. And mom's going to be so impressed. And one of the brothers said, you know what I've got? He said, I know mom loves the Bible. You know, you always got one of the spiritual brothers in the family, right? You always got one of those guys. But anyway, maybe I've been too spiritual. He said, yeah, I'm going to get mom about this parrot that I heard. This parrot, man, it can say Bible verses. You just give it the verse, and man, it says it. He said, I had to donate $120,000 to the church and $100,000 each every year after that for 20 years. He said, but it's going to be worth it. And they got to Thanksgiving, and everything went okay. And mom didn't seem as impressed by everything that went on with everything. And then shortly after they left, mom began to write her thank you notes. You know, moms always are thankful, even though they're not impressed. They're always thankful. They're always appreciative. She wrote to one of her sons, Marvin, I'm too old to travel. Marvin, all I do is stay at home now. I have my groceries delivered. So though the Mercedes was a good idea for you, I'm not using it very much, but thank you. To Milton, she wrote, the house you built is so huge, but I only live in one room, but I still have to clean the whole house. Michael, what you bought me in that movie theater was very nice and it could hold 40 or 50 people, but all my friends are dead and I've nearly lost all my hearing and I barely can see. I'm blind, but thank you anyhow. Finally, she wrote a note to Melvin. She said, Melvin, you are the only son to have such good sense and have such good thought in the gift that you brought, that you gave to me. Very thankful. And then she signed, P.S., the chicken was delicious. You know, sometimes in life we can think we're really getting a good gift. We can think we're really going to be thankful for something, but it doesn't always work out for us. But in our text this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 18, we find a very interesting verse for us. The Bible gives to us a very important superlative in verse number 18, and that is the word everything. Everything. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you're there. The Bible says, in everything, what does it say? Give thanks. And how many things? Can you say it with me? How many things? Everything. That's what I thought it said. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You say, well, that's only one place, preacher. Go over your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Could you turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5? In verse number 20, Ephesians 5:20, notice what it says here. Ephesians 5:20. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:20, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you thought giving thanks in everything was difficult, did you see how it was actually, we have not just one superlative, we have two superlatives right here. We have two exclamation points, if you will. In everything, give thanks, it said in 1 Thessalonians 5, but in Ephesians 5:20, it says to us, giving thanks always for all things. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Philippians 4, 6. We don't want to leave that one off either. In Philippians 4, 6, now the Bible teaches us here, it says, be careful for nothing. That means don't be anxious, don't worry about things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. I obviously only have one intention today, and that is to make you to consider to be a more thankful person today, tomorrow, and for the rest of your life. Not just today, not just tomorrow, but for the rest of your life. He told Paul, Paul told the Ephesians that we are to give thanks for everything, always. And then he says a very interesting phrase. Back to Ephesians 5, it says, give thanks always in all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever considered that your thankfulness hinges upon your obedience and love to Jesus? Your thankfulness and my thankfulness, it hinges, it is based upon our love, our obedience in the name of Jesus Christ. He says we ought to give thanks in the name of our Father and the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said that giving thanks is actually the will of God. I may have said this to you now, but I'll say it again, is that most of the time people are always looking for this secret will of God, but I've said this many times, if you would just do the revealed will of God, then God would show you His specific wills. Did you know that God has a lot of revealed will? It's right here. See, I want to know what the will of God is. You know what the very first thing you ought to take your teenager to, your friend, your spouse, your coworker? You say, hey, can I show you where the will of God is? Oh, yeah, most definitely. Well, first thing I can tell you is turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. How are you doing in the Thanksgiving department, right? And then you can turn to all kinds of verses, and you can just really give them the Bible, and you can say, this is the will of God. Do what this says, do what the Bible says, and then let God show you from there. But your obedience to Christ and your love for Jesus, your thankfulness, it hinges upon those two things. We are bearing the name of Jesus in all that we do, in everything that we do. Everywhere we go, everything that we do, we're bearing the name of Jesus Christ. And we have a couple of options. We can either be one that is bearing the name of Jesus Christ and be cynical, critical, ungrateful, or just unthoughtful. Or we can be one that bears the name of Jesus Christ and be thankful, thoughtful, appreciative, and encouraging. I think that all of us would say, I'd rather have the second one, right? I don't want to be cynical. I don't want to be critical. I don't want to be ungrateful or unthoughtful. So my question to you today is just, how do you be a thankful Christian?
How do you be a thankful Christian? How do you be a thankful Christian? I think that one of the things is this, is that understanding that, first of all, we must remind ourselves that sermons on thankfulness, love, encouragement, maybe guilt or depression, these are subjects that range in such great vastness that we cannot deal with them as the world deals with them. I'm not here to give you a self-help class on thankfulness, on how to be a more, how to have your more thankful self, all right? That's not what we're here. That's not the purpose of sermons. That's not the purpose of preaching. Because the world can give you good advice on being thankful. Do you know that? Have you ever met somebody that's not saved, a non-believer that's thankful? Of course you have. You've met people that are not saved. They don't go to church. They're non-believers. They say thank you. So we're not talking about a more thankful person in that sense. We're not talking about having philosophy or a philosophy class on the effects of thankfulness. I'm sure there's some seminary or some college or some federally funded university out there that has spent some time on the effects of thankfulness. I didn't find one, but I'm sure you can probably search hard enough, and there's probably been a study that was granted some government money, perhaps, on the effects of thankfulness in people's lives. And I'm sure that if we were to make that study in a very purely worldly sense, that I would say the effects were probably good. They're probably advantageous. They're probably helpful. To know that somebody was thankful. I bring this up because this is a danger in any pulpit. It's a danger to promote philosophy. It's a danger to promote self-help. It's a danger to promote just some kind of philosophical meaning. But we've got to get past philosophy. When this church, when this world, when this country was founded, and there was the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and all of those kinds of things were being written down, and people were trying to decide, should we separate from England or not? Do you realize that the pulpits were actually the hotbed for political philosophy? In fact, I've read some sermons, and I carry on at sermons that were written and sometimes in the 1600s, because I'm going, all this guy's talking about is politics, no Bible. Maybe it's the pulpits of yesteryear that talked about political philosophy. Maybe it's the pulpits of the day that talk about the philosophy of self-help. Whatever it is, the holy desk, the pulpit, is to be used for the preaching of the Word of God. And so I ask you again, how can you, or are you, a thankful Christian? Turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 17. The Gospel of Luke in chapter number 17 gives to us one of the only stories that you find, I guess, the main story of thankfulness in the Gospels. It's the story of the 10 lepers. In the story of the 10 lepers, you find that Jesus comes into a town as he's passing through, as he went through Jerusalem, and he passes through the midst of Samaria in Luke chapter number 17. And as he's going through Samaria and Galilee, he enters into a certain village in chapter and verse number 12. And as he enters into the village, the Bible tells us there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, in verse number 14, Luke 17, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, that is Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made the whole. I want to say a statement right here, and that might be a little shocking, but listen to me when I say this. No use in being thankful if you're not a Christian. There's no use in being thankful if you're not a Christian. You say that's a harsh statement. Well, the world would have you believe that if the world was a more thankful, congenial, nice, well-respecting world, if we were just more thankful, we would have a better world. The world wants you to believe that. And I've talked to people like that, and I've talked to with people with that type of philosophy, that if we just all kind of love one another, if we put each other first, if we just kind of put aside our differences of politics and religion and what we kind of viewed on things of life, that if we just kind of just would just all get along and be nice and congenial and kind to one another, then this world would be a better place. But really, that's a lie, and that's a farce. It's a false pretense and philosophy. Nothing is further from the truth, and really, nothing wants to smack God in the face more than that right there. Because that is mockery to the Son of God. Why do you say that? The world will only be a better place because of Jesus, my friend. Not because your neighbor's more thankful. The only thing that's going to improve anybody, save anybody, help anybody, the only thing that's going to make this world a better place is Jesus Christ the Lord. There was one thing that there was a teaching that was promoted some years ago, and some are trying to bring it back, that the world is getting better, and it's going to get to the place where we're going to usher into the kingdom of God. We're going to usher in this kingdom. We're going to bring this kingdom to pass. We're going to bring in the kingdom of God. But my friend, the world is not getting better. Things are not getting more pleasant. The problem with this world is that they do not have Jesus Christ. This gospel is what people need. I'm not saying thankfulness does not have its purpose, and I'm not saying that non-believers cannot be thankful. I think we've established that. Jesus even says that ye being evil know how to give good gifts, right? I mean, mothers that are unsaved, non-believers, you know, some of them treat their children terribly, no doubt about it, but some are very good mothers because the natural affection within inside them makes them want to treat their child in a good and a right way. We might in our lives say, you know what, I treat my neighbor good, or I'm a good person, or I do some good things. There's no doubt the world has done some good things, has done some helpful things, has helped out in some things. There's no doubt about that. The Bible lets us know, because we're made in the image of God, guess what? We can do some things that are helpful and good, but those things do not whatsoever earn us any salvation or merit with God. It's simply God working through us and helping us, though they're saved or unsaved. We ought to understand that if someone, only somebody that is a Christian, has a capacity to be truly thankful. Because where does true thankfulness begin? True thankfulness begins when we understand who we are and Jesus Christ is. When we see ourselves as sinners in need of a Savior and we accept that free gift of salvation, then what do we automatically become to God, right? Thankful, right? Because of the great gift that He has given to us, there should be no greater person out in the world that's a thankful person than a Christian. The most thankful person at your workplace, in your home, and your family should be you if you're a Christian. It should be you. You should never let your unsaved brother be more thankful than you are. You should never let that. You should never be more, you should not at work be one that's more critical or upset or always on edge or always one that's ungrateful and unappreciative for what's happening in your life more than anybody. You should be the one that's thankful. You should be the one that's appreciative. You should be the one that's thoughtful. You should be the one that everybody goes, you know what, that gal, that girl, that person, they're a thankful person. They're appreciative. They're thoughtful. They're grateful for what they have. People ought to see that in our lives. See, how do you prove that? By the story we just read, right? Luke 17, you've got 10 guys, that one guy's a leper, 10 of them are lepers. They're all healed of their leprosy, and only one of them comes back, and that's the one that Jesus acknowledges. That's the guy that he says, this is the man whose faith hath made him whole. He's different than the rest of these guys. He came back, glorified God, gave God the thanks, gave me some thanksgiving. Go in your Bibles over to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3 and verse number 2. Excuse me, chapter 3 and verse number 2. 2 Timothy 3, 2, the Bible teaches us here some different aspects and qualities of a Christian, of a believer in Christ Jesus. Excuse me, did I say 2 Timothy? But it shows us some different qualities of not those that are Christians, but those that are not Christians. I'm sorry, I misspoke there. I hope Christians are not covetous, boasters, blasphemers, and proud, all right? Look here in verse number 1. This know that in the last days perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy 3:2. Now it says here, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Now, if you were to tell me that perilous times will come, I would say, amen, brother. I think we might be living in perilous times. You say we're living in the last days, preachers? Oh, yeah, we're living in the last days. We've been living in the last days a long time, but we're still living in the last days. If you were to say, well, give me a list what it's going to look like, well, I'd say, man, you probably got some idolaters out there. I'd say you probably got some adulterers out there. I'd say you probably got some murderers out there. You probably got some really bad people that are out there. What else do you think's out there? Well, I don't know. What do you think? Well, what about unthankful people? Would you put that in the list? I don't know if I would have, but Paul does. The Holy Spirit did. The Holy Spirit said, if you want to know when the perilous times are come, you're going to find out that it's a time in which people are unthankful, they're ungrateful, they're unappreciative, they're unthoughtful for what they've been given in life. They don't appreciate anything that they have. They're wanting it. They're like the horse leech that it says in Proverbs that cries, give, give, give. I want. It's all mine. I deserve it. Entitlement. I did this. I need that. You don't deserve that. But for us as a believer, thus that are saved, this teaching that we have on thankfulness in Philippians, Ephesians, and 1 Thessalonians, and again, he tells us four or five different times in the book of Colossians. I didn't read all of those times. That thanksgiving is not an option for a believer. Thanksgiving is a command. It's something we're commanded to do. It's something we're told to do. Sometimes we might feel bad to tell our kids, now you need to say thank you. Well, if it doesn't come from the heart, then I don't want them to say it. No, listen to me. That's wrong thinking. You need to teach your kids to be thankful, to say thank you to somebody. Yes, it should come from the heart for us. But every once in a while, guess what? It's not always in our heart to be thankful. We have to say, you know what? I've got to get past my heart because my heart's wicked. It's deceitful above all things. My heart wants to say, you don't have to be thankful. You don't have to be thoughtful. You don't have to write a thank you note. You don't have to do any of that. You deserve that. They should have told you this. They should have done that for you. They should have given you that in the first place. My heart's deceitful. I don't live by my heart, but praise God, we ought to live by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Don't listen to your heart. That's the worst lie that you can ever believe, all right? Listen to the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart. Be thoughtful, be appreciative, because it's a command of God. It's not just a quality. It's not just a motivation for success. It's not just a good suggestion. It's not a good quality in your life that will make you feel better about yourself. It's not a path to a better you to be thankful, okay? I mean, well, if you'll just be thankful, then you know what? It'll just be a path to a better you. That'll just make you a better person, make you feel better about yourself. If you'll just write thank you notes to people and be nice to people. No, you know what? That's a commandment of God. God said be thankful in everything, in all things, always. Be thankful. Be appreciative. Be grateful for what you have. Don't have ingratitude, cynicism, entitlement-type mentality, selfishness, or be unappreciative or unthankful. He says at the end of that list, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know, one sure way to express a form of godliness, but deny the power of the Holy Spirit living within you, is to just simply be unthankful. Ever thought about that like that? I never did. I never thought about it like that. That to have a form of godliness, you look good on the outside, you're a Christian, you do right, you dress right, you act right, you don't say bad words, you don't go to bad places anymore, okay, you don't do those things anymore, but a way to express godliness on the outside, but you look godly, but you deny the power, is by having the right look, but not being thankful. Just see being ungrateful. Not thoughtful. First John 3:8 says this, he that committeth, we don't talk about these verses a lot in First John. They're sometimes they blow our minds. They rack our brains a little bit, don't they? He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Wow. So if I commit sin, if I'm unthankful and ungrateful, then I'm of the devil. You're acting like the devil. You sure are. And the Bible tells us that this world that is around us is underneath the influence of the devil, and they're going to be unthankful. They're not going to be appreciative. They're not going to be grateful for what they have. He that committeth sin is of the devil. The devil sinned from the beginning. For this very purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You know what the God wants to do? He wants to destroy in your hearts. He wants to destroy every bit of ungratefulness and unappreciativeness in your heart. He wants to destroy that. Let me ask you a question. A real personal question. What is it in your life right now you're not thankful for? What is it? What is it that, what situation, what person, what thing, what past event that has happened in your life you've never told God thankful? Or you're bitter against, you're mad against, you're cynical against, you're sarcastic against, you're upset with, you're not thankful for it, definitely. Is there something, someone, some event you're not thankful for? Well, you know what? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, it says, in everything give thanks. You say, how do I do that? Well, you'll have to come back this afternoon. We're talking about the wisdom of God. So, God does everything right, always perfectly, every single time. I'm getting a lot of good response this morning on this wonderful light message on thankfulness. Just consider this. Are you consistently, habitually, characteristically unthankful? Is that who you are? You are simply an unthankful, ungrateful person. Then you might want to check up on a couple of things. Ask God, what's the problem here? Why am I not more thankful? Christians should be thankful people. Now, maybe you haven't been one lately. Maybe there's an issue that's came up in your life or whatever it is, but you say to God, hey God, I realize I'm not being thankful. Repent of that. See that. God will accept you. He will not deny his own. I've not been as thankful as I should. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Has anybody ever had car troubles? All right. Only a couple people. You've had car troubles, right, before? How many of you love car troubles? All right? How many like when both of your cars are in the shop? And you're like me, you wrecked your other car, right? That was given to you. That's always a wonderful thing. And you don't have any cars, all right? Now, in a situation like that, what do you do? Do you be thankful? Do you say, God, thank you for letting me at least have something to drive? Have some wheels? How many got a car when they were 16 years old? Anybody in here? I got a car when I was 16. Anybody else? How many a little bit older? 17, 18? All right, something around, somewhere around in there. How many of you did not care what you drove? All right, you didn't care what you drove. I mean, I drove this old 1992 pickup truck with a Toyota pickup truck with a five-speed manual in it, man. But I still thought I was the hottest dude in town. I mean, I thought I was something else. I mean, those gears felt like a tractor's gears. I mean, they were just so long. I mean, you're just going back and forth like this. It wasn't like a Hurst shifter in my friend's Camaro Z28 or anything like that. I mean, the thing was, but I love that car. I was thankful to have some wheels, right? But now we go, wow, these wheels aren't good enough. But then we lose all our cars and we say, well, God, I need a car. Well, when did you ever tell God thank you for the car you did have? When did you ever tell him thank you? We should always be thankful. We should not use this word Thanksgiving just as a cliche, just to kind of throw it around that, you know what, it's Thanksgiving this time of year. Let's just be thankful for a little bit. No, be thankful all the time, all year round, and everything, always giving thanks for all things. So how do you practically be thankful? How do you practically be thankful this morning? Be a Christian, yes, but be thankful as a Christian. Be thankful as a Christian. I think this might help you out this morning, but if you all not understand what thankfulness means, you ought to understand where the word thank comes from. Do you know where the word thank comes from? It comes from the word think. Think. So when you're saying thankfulness, then you can actually also be saying, I know this is not an English word, but you'd say thinkfulness. We don't call that thinkfulness. What do we call it? Thoughtfulness. We say somebody's not thankful, we call them thoughtful. We call them thoughtful people. Thoughtful people are thankful people. When you're thoughtful, you're thankful. You say, how do I become thoughtful? How do I want to be thoughtful? Well, first of all, don't get so wrapped up in the gift that you forget the giver. Go back to our illustration in Luke chapter number 17. What happened to those other 9 men? They forgot about the giver. They were so excited about the gift. No more leprosy. And I'll tell you what, I don't think if you had a personal interview with any of those guys and set them down and say, are you glad that you had your leprosy cleansed? I think all of them would say, yes, of course I am. Are you glad that you've been healed? Oh, yes, I'm glad I've been healed. Are you thankful? Oh, yeah, I'm glad I am. I'm glad I'm thankful. I don't think any of them would have been mad about the fact that they didn't have leprosy anymore, all right? They were all excited, but they got so wrapped up in the gift that they forgot the giver. When I was studying this, I read a message that said, 2 is greater than 4. Well, Brother Blue knows that's not right. 2 is greater than 4. But you know what? It's better to be thankful not just for something. It's better to be thankful to someone. You ever been praying and prayed like this? This is real practical. Lord, thank you for. Lord, thank you for my family. Lord, thank you for. Or maybe you've said it like this. I'm just so thankful for this. I'm so thankful for that. I see these signs sometimes that just say, thankful. And I understand what that means. But don't just be cliche thankful. Be thankful to someone. Be thankful to God that God has given to you the great gifts, the great wonderful blessings that he has given to you. I'll tell you another practical way to be thankful. Be hungry. You say, what do you mean? Well, in the late 1800s, George Mueller operated an orphanage that at one time had 1,000 orphans. Can you imagine having to feed 1,000 people, 1,000 children? One morning, there was no food to eat, and he called all the children and the staff together. And you know what George Mueller did? He didn't criticize. He didn't complain. He actually set all the staff and the children down. And though there was nothing to eat, he bowed his head, and he thanked God for the food. A few moments later, a baker knocked on the door and he told Mr. Mueller that he had been convicted by the Holy Spirit that very night that he should bake bread for all the children of the orphanage. And he spent all night long baking bread and delivered it to them as soon as George Mueller finished his prayer. A few moments later, after Mueller had received the bread, there was a milkman that knocked on the door and said that his milk truck had broken down and he couldn't deliver the rest of his milk and it was going to spoil if he didn't get it. So would you be able to use this? Mueller gladly accepted the invitation. Be hungry, people. You know what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 5? The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 3 through 5, it says that when you sit down to eat, let nothing be refused, talking about what you eat, but let it be received with thanksgiving. When you go to work tomorrow, are you going to bow your head over your lunch and pray for that food? When you go to school, are you bow your head and pray for your, not pray for your food, thank God for the food that He has given to you. Thank Him. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given to you. A practical way to be thankful is just be hungry. Every time you're hungry, every time you sit down to eat a meal, hey, give thanks. Give thanks. It's just practical. We heard a verse this morning that the children just read to us, Psalm 118:1. In fact, they memorized that verse. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Do you know how David got a hold of that verse and how he got a hold of that thought? Because David was a meditating man. If you're going to be thankful, then you'll be learn to give God thanks when you're hungry, when you're eating. Give God thanks by meditating, thinking on His word, thinking about God's word, thinking about God. Do you ever think about God? Seriously, do you ever just think about God? And who God is, His mercy, His grace, His goodness to us. If you do, you'll be more thankful. You'll be more thankful to Him and His salvation, His greatness. Prayerful people. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse number 2. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 1:2 that as Paul's preaching here to the Thessalonians, he tells them, and Paul says this a lot of times. But in 1 Thessalonians 1:2, it says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Be hungry, be meditating, be prayerful. You know, I have found out that I'm more thankful for the people that I pray for. When I pray for people, I become thankful for them. I become more appreciative for them. Because it's during prayer that God begins to show me who that person really is. Begins to show me what they mean to me in my life. As one preacher said one time, and it's really hard to be mad at somebody that you're praying for. It's just really difficult. I mean, you can be mad at first and be all mad at God and be mad at this person and talking to God about him. But I'll tell you what, you start doing that a couple days in a row and God's going to start getting all over you. And then sooner or later, you'll become thankful. Praying will supernaturally make you more thankful. We give thanks to God always for you all. It's a supernatural thing. You say, I cannot be thankful for, you fill in the blank, for that person, you don't know what they did to me. I am not telling you that thankfulness in everything, in all things, is something you can do in your flesh, my friend. You cannot do it in your flesh. You cannot fulfill Ephesians 5:20 in the flesh, being thankful always for all things. You cannot be thankful for that son or daughter that has put you out on the curb. You cannot be thankful for that spouse that treated you horribly and left you for somebody else. You cannot be thankful for that father or mother that treated you terribly and did a terrible thing to you. You cannot be thankful to that for that boss that treated you horribly and did things to you that are unspeakable and ungodly. You cannot be thankful for any of those people in the flesh, okay? But you can, by the Spirit and the grace of God, be thankful for them. And everything and always give thanks. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The will of God in Christ Jesus is to be thankful for everything, always. Pray for your enemies. Pray for them which despitefully use you. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:1-4, I exhort you that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and listen to this, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I heard a preacher one time say, well, see, the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, be thankful for everything. You see, we're not everyone, everything. You know what? That's wrong. Because 1 Timothy 2:1 tells us this, that we ought to be giving thanks for all men, all people. It's not just everything. It's all people, everywhere, always, no matter what. I know that's not easy. One more way to be thankful is this. Be a servant. And I might say it like this too. Be observant. Not just a servant. Be observant. Look around at other people around you. See what they don't have. Look at somebody less fortunate than you. Maybe go help somebody less fortunate than you. Find a man that maybe lost his wife, or a man that maybe his wife left him for another woman, and go minister to that person. You know what? You'll go home and you'll kiss your wife and you'll say, thank God for her. Go serve a family that's got a disabled person in their life, and then you'll go home and you know what? You'll raise up one of your kids and you'll kiss them on the head and you'll say, thank God for my kid. They're not that way. Thank you, God. I don't deserve this. Go minister to a family who just lost a son or a daughter or a close friend or relative, and maybe they're lying there in the hospital about to pull the plug. I'll tell you what, you'll begin to appreciate what you have. You'll begin to be thankful. Think about things like when your dad calls you on a Sunday morning and says, son, one of your friends from high school just had an overdose and he died last night. Just want to let you know. And my dad began to weep. He said, thank you, son, that you didn't do drugs. Thank you, you didn't get caught up in that. That's no pat on my back. It's a pat on my dad's back for being observant and being thankful. And saying, you know what, I'm glad. I can look around. I can see, you know what? My son lives 1,500 miles away from me. I see him 2 times a year, but you know what? At least I know he's doing what I know he should be doing. You see, there's a lot of times in life that we can get down and out, and we can just say, you know what? I wish I had it like that, or I wish that wasn't this way in my life, or I wish maybe I had it like this, but God doesn't work in that way. God doesn't work for our ease and our comfort. He works in us so that we may be conformed into the image of his son. That's what he's doing in us. That's what he's trying to work in us. And you say, well, why do I got this and why do I got that? I don't know the answers for all of that. But I can tell you this. One of the answers is this, is that be ye thankful. Be thankful. Tell God, thank you. I don't understand, but thank you. Ravensbrück was one of the worst German concentration camps in World War II. It was a horrible place to live. But Corrie Ten Boom, if you've ever read her story or life story, it's an amazing story. Christian lady and her sister, Betsy, they found themselves imprisoned in that horrible, rotten place. When they came there, they walked into their barracks and they found that their barracks were actually flea infested. And immediately, Corrie Ten Boom said in her autobiography that she began to complain. She began to be upset. She began to question. But her sister Betsy encouraged her in the Lord, and she said, don't forget, Corrie, that the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. So in a flea-infested floor, they got down on their knees, and they thanked God for the fleas. Months went by. They weren't receiving the persecution that the rest of the others were receiving. They weren't hearing the reports, or they weren't experiencing the reports that other people were experiencing. In fact, they were having Bible study in their particular dormitory, and no guards ever came in there. It was not found out till after months and months later that the guards never went into that particular dorm because it was flea infested. They never at one time had to struggle with the persecution of the guards. They never one at a time had to give up their Bible studies. They never one time had to stash away their Bibles because of the fleas. What's the fleas in your life? What's the fleas in your life that you just say, I wish I could just stomp everyone. I wish I just could fumigate these things. I hate this so much. Can't stand these things. I don't like all this stuff. I just wish life could just be returned to normal. But what is normal, really, when you think about it? What is normal? All those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. God has not promised to us a bed of roses unless you want to include the thorns. And so be thankful for the thorns. Be thankful for the thorns. Be thankful for everything. Be prayerful, people. When you bow down and you sit down and it's time to eat, be thankful. Meditate on God and who He is. Think about others and see others in their less fortunate situation and say, God, thank you what you have given to me. I don't deserve what you have given to me. And God, be ye thankful. For in doing so, you do the will of God. You can always understand, you can always believe. If you don't know the will of God, you can always trust that I'm doing the will of God because I'm being thankful. And would I say this too with closing? Be thankful for Jesus. Be thankful for Him. Do you every day tell God, thank you for your salvation? Have you told Him today? Be thankful for what He's done for you, for the great gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. And don't ever forget it. Ask God to help you to do it. Because in our flesh, we fail. In our flesh, we surrender over many times to our own fleshly appetites. And ingratitude and unappreciativeness and unthoughtfulness creep in. But God says, I've come to destroy the works of the devil. I've come to make you thankful people, godly people, appreciative people, thoughtful people. May God help us to give thanks in everything. Father, thank you.